everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. I'm joined today by Daniel Keller, who is the co-founder of Flux. Daniel, welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast. How are you doing?
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really do appreciate it. I'm doing well.
Good. I'm excited. A lot of people have actually talking about Flux, you know, whether it's in the news. One of my guys emailed me the other day and was like, hey, have you heard of this thing? So I was diving into it. And then fortuitously, we got to meet. So I'm going to be sending this to my buddy who's been asking about Flux, and we're going to get the deep dive. So before we do that, Daniel, just let's get acquainted here with the audience. Introduce yourself. What is it that you know you're doing at Flux that is truly groundbreaking?
Yeah, awesome. So I am Daniel Keller. I am the co-founder of Flux. Flux is 5 years old. So we've been around for a while. I like to say we're the best kept secret in blockchain and crypto. Flux is a decentralized compute network. So what does that mean? That means we are Web3. If you really get down to brass tacks, what is Web3? Web3 is an infrastructure play. There's a lot of Web3 kind of is used as a blanket term for a lot of different things. If it's bright and shiny, you know, whether it's NFTs or DeFi or whatever, everybody kind of lumps in Web3. But if you're running on AWS, you're not Web3, right? So you need to be running on a decentralized platform. And that's exactly what Flux does, is we created the world's largest and first decentralized compute network. We have over 16,000 nodes all over the world ran by decentralized systems administrators. We have one of the largest mining sides of the world as well. So it's a proof of work algorithm. So our consensus mechanism and our transactional validator is proof of work. And our layer two infrastructure is our node network. So basically, if I'm trying to explain this in a nutshell to somebody hearing about Flux for the very first time, we're AWS on the blockchain. Instead of cold load data centers that are here, there, and everywhere, it's a global network, and it's massive. So that's a little bit about us.
Okay, cool. And so Flux, it's, you know, I love that. It's the AWS for Web3 or for crypto. Now, there's also a Flux token. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's a proof of work coin. So, you know, basically we're a fork of Bitcoin. We are a fork of Zcash, but Zcash was a fork of Bitcoin. So we use the code base from Bitcoin, essentially. So it's mineable. It's ASIC resistant. So we don't have any ASICs on it to really focus in on decentralization. It's utility based asset. So everything that runs on Flux or around Flux is built in Flux. So it's truly the utilitarian of all utilitarian. It's not some crappy token that, you know, people printed off and said, hey, we're going to make it worth something. So our community is very large. We have a very large community. I would say one of the most vibrant communities, if not the most vibrant community in blockchain. So, you know, yeah, but proof of work all the way. We're all about that.
Yeah, interesting. And so proof of work, you know, one of the things that people don't like about it is it tends to be kind of slow. And so how do you guys kind of navigate that?
I would say it's slow if you're looking at like transactional validation. So, you know, if you're talking TPS or transaction per second, then you would say, you know, proof of work is probably, although there are projects out there like Kadena and some other projects that have kind of addressed some of those scaling. We don't care really about that because all the magic happens on our layer two. So we're really just using layer one for transactional validation and consensus mechanism. So, you know, for us, it makes sense to have the security and decentralization of proof of work and the speed doesn't really matter much to us because all of the speed happens on our layer two infrastructure with our node networks, which is supported.
Got it. So it's the AWS kind of competitor is not slow based on proof of work. That's on the L2.
No. It's matter of fact, I would put our infrastructure up against AWS as any day. Because a lot of the things that we do, AWS cannot do because of their centralized entity. Mm. So we're fast.
So you have a big team, or how do you kind of think about running a decentralized autonomous organization?
Well, Flux was really born into the world in 2018. So right out of the throes of the ICO craze, where everybody was minting every single crap token out there there was. And we came along and we really realized that we wanted to solve a problem. And the problem that we wanted to solve was the fact that, you know, as Satoshi Nakamoto penned the Bitcoin white paper, he had a fairly significant challenge. And that was, what do we do with all this additional compute resources, right? So we're going to create the largest, most decentralized, censorship-resistant platform out there. However, it's going to take a massive footprint. So what Flux did is we wanted to expand on that as well. So we wanted to use proof of work, and we wanted to take that Satoshi consensus model. And we also wanted to layer on speed on top of that, but also be able to use that compute resources. So we created what was called proof of useful work, which is our layer two. So we have our layer one, which is our proof of work side. We have our layer two, which is our proof of useful work side. And together in tandem, 50% of our block rewards go to our miners and 50% go to our node operators. And by doing that, we fixed a very large glaring hole, and that was the usage of like real decentralized compute. And that's exactly what we've kind of perfected over the past 5 years.
Is it possible for Amazon to decentralize their compute, or for any kind of incumbent to say, oh wow, I see what these these innovators are doing, you know, we could do this with what we have? Or is it fundamentally incompatible?
I think it's fundamentally incompatible because of the way that they're structured. But I would love to see them do something where, you know, they would provide back to, you know, resources, you know, where people can participate back in. The problem is it's going to break their business model. And 60% of all Amazon's revenue comes from a byproduct that was created in AWS. So, you know, yes, they could do it, but it is going to basically destroy their profit margin. And that's exactly what Flux is looking to do, is not necessarily dethrone AWS, but be a symbiotic relationship. So you have Web 1, which was on-prem, so people that ran servers, right? Data lakes, so right. on and so forth. Then you had Web 2 come along, which is cloud infrastructure. So people didn't give up on-prem right away, and they still haven't, right? So you're still using mm-hmm. on-prem, you're still using cloud-based. I think all Web3 does, or what Flux does, is create another way to emphasize the other two products. So you'll still have on-prem, your Web1, your Web2, which is going to be scalable and redundant and, you know, centralized. And then you'll have Web3, which is, you know, decentralized, redundant, fast, and so on and so forth. So I think it's just another flavor, I think, is what you're going to see.
Does this enable any sort of new applications that might be really compelling to the consumer that is not really possible in the current Web 2 and Web 1 world?
Yeah, everything. And that's the crazy part, is if you it doesn't, you know, the number one question that I get all the time is, how do I become a Web 3 developer? And with Flux, all you have to do is be a developer. You don't have to be a Web 3 developer. There's no specialty. If you've already built it in Web 2, you can port it to Web 3. All you have to do is Dockerize the container and you can deploy it on Flux. So whether it's a front end, back end, game server, website, matter of fact, we just deployed WordPress on Flux. So, you know, 40 plus percent of the internet runs on WordPress, and now you can run it on Flux for pennies on the dollar, what you would on your centralized infrastructure. So I'm not saying it's impossible for, you know, large, and as a matter of fact, we've partnered with several Web2 companies. Lumen is one, and OVH is another. I mean, if you're familiar with those guys, they're pretty large, and they understand that this is the way the technology is going. So they want to be, you know, they want to be leaders in the industry. They don't necessarily want to have to be the followers.
Yeah. Now, how do you guys kind of incentivize participation on the network? What is it that's going to get somebody to get involved with Flux and run a node or build an application? Is there incentives built in?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, for our enterprise infrastructure, we have three tiers of nodes that you can run. 1,000, 1,250, and 40,000 lockup of Flux. And with that, you will basically, once you've locked that up, you're not putting it in any kind of weird lockup where you have to put it in for a period of time. You can basically deploy your node, take it down 5 minutes later, and your Flux has remained in your wallet.
It's liquid.
It's liquid. So we don't have
it's
any
not
weird
the voter escrow stuff that some of the other guys are doing.
No, people that do that or manipulate your tokenomics or prevent people from removing it, those are flawed processes anyway. So this is as much as you know, as much or as little as you'd like to do, and it doesn't commit you to any weird lockup or anything like that. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that that was like priority number one. We wanted to make sure people, it was as decentralized as humanly possible. And when you start to manipulate, you know, tokenomics like that, I don't think it is very decentralized. So you can run a node, you can, you know, provide infrastructure, you can go deploy dApps. Everything requires Flux today. So there's plenty of ways that, you know, you can build a mining rig and you can mine it. But there's pretty much any way you can think of, you can earn a little Flux.
And then you could earn earn Flux, but then also you need to spend that Flux on the network. For instance, if you want to run a system or run a query or run an application or whatever on Flux, do you need to pay in those tokens?
You can. So one of the things that we looked at when we were building Flux out is we didn't necessarily just want to revolve this around the crypto space. We wanted this, you know, there's a lot of projects out there that are crypto projects. They say, you know, we're a crypto crypto project, and you know we're building a blockchain. We're a tech company or a tech project that really is building that happens to have a blockchain. So, you know, we wanted to make sure Flux was instituted with everything, but we're all technologists at the project. So we understand, you know, we have 65 plus developers, and all of them came from some walk of network infrastructure. So they realized, like for me, I'm, you know, CIO by trade. So I need to be able to budget appropriately in a fiscal year. So I can't sit down and say I might need 50,000 Flux, or I could need 10,000 Flux, or somewhere in the middle, right? That just doesn't work like that. So we also have created onboarding ramps that, you know, we crypto.com, coinbase.com. We actually have Zelcore Pay, which is, you know, you can use crypto. So you can use crypto, you can use fiat, you can use these different platforms to deploy. That helps people budget effectively. And then what happens is once that fiat payment has been settled, it automatically settles back to Flux again. So everything requires Flux, whether it's, you know, deployments or nodes, or, you know, even our decentralized.
It's the entire gas that runs the entire network.
Yep. Yeah. Even our decentralized two-factor authentication requires some Flux to sign a transaction, which will allow you to use decentralized two-factor authentication. So.
Very cool. Have you guys gotten any, how do I say it, like enterprise partnerships or recognition from, you know, S&P 500 companies or anything like that?
Yeah, we're working with Lumen and OVH right now. We also were accepted.
Sorry, who?
Lumen and OVH.
Okay, thank you.
And we also were accepted into the NVIDIA Inception program. So one of the big things.
Oh, killer.
We're working on is eventually we're going to have our AI component as well. So we'll have a node structure that'll be just specifically for AI. And we're finishing out our proof of use work model, which will also take our GPUs and put them in. So you can basically think of it this way, like ChatGPT spends, you know, the better part of $150,000 to $250,000 a day in technology. You'll be able to do that exact same thing on Flux, you know, many times over, because the mining network will be able to be utilized for those pieces as well. So that's one of the projects we're working on right now with the proof of use of work.
That sounds super cool. And yeah, congrats on the NVIDIA partnership and program. I'm an NVIDIA bull. I think the more that AI and, you know, crypto mining and stuff comes out, I mean, they really are cornering the market in chips and stuff. So,
well, they're not necessarily kind to the miners, and so they were not my friends at first. You know, I'm being quite frank. As a matter of fact, sure. I gave them a lot of crap about it. mostly because, you know, they've not been friendly to miners, and miners are going to be a big part of their revenue model going forward, even with proof of use work. But one of the things they really do well is the fact they're Jetsons and their edge compute and AI solutions, which is what Flux is working with. So, you know, are you going to see a Flux branded graphics card coming from NVIDIA? Probably not. And we're not going to get a fan letter because of it, but what you are going to see is a lot of NVIDIA Jetsons deployed. We already have thousands of them on the network as it is.
That's fantastic. And you're also working with a popular crypto company, I believe, called Wire. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Wire's cool. We actually are in the process. I mean, again, we want to make sure we have the best on-ramps out there. So we've partnered with MoonPay. We've partnered with Wire. We've partnered with, you know, Coinbase.com, Crypto.com. You know, the one thing about Flux is, you know, because everybody says, you know, who's your competition out there? And I always say, you know, we don't have competition, we have opportunity. Because we're so early in the space that every single project, if they're doing the right thing and they're creating like a you know, that framework, that delivery framework like Flux has done, we're willing to work with you and we're willing to, you know, we're willing to develop our products out together. So Wire's pretty good one. MoonPay was a big one we added as well. Our goal is to reduce the barrier of entry. Stripe is another one that we'll be working with as well.
Oh yeah, they're big.
So, you know, we want to reduce the barrier of entry for people to be able to deploy on the infrastructure and just tune it up and run with it. And that's exactly what we're working on now.
And I saw when I was perusing the site that you guys partnered with or have the power to be cross-chain compatible with Kadena, Ethereum, Binance, Solana, I think a couple others. Is there cross-chain risk there? Like if Solana blows up, like is your network affected, or you know, what's kind of the strategy there?
Well, one of the holy grail of blockchain is interchain operability. Right. So the ability to
between all chains.
Yeah. To work with all chains. And that's exactly what Flux set out to do and has done. So we were able to bridge these networks, and we didn't do it conventionally, like what you see with wrapped assets or anything like that, because you basically have to rely on a third party in place for that. You know what I mean? You have to hope like hell the audits are correct. And as we've seen with some of these bridges, not fun. Right. So we're lucky because one of our products is Zelcore, which is a multi-asset platform. So we were able that runs on top of Flux. So we were able to deploy a fusion bridge inside of that and allow you to move from the primary chain to any parallel chain. So what does that mean? That means if you're in Flux and you want to move to Flux ETH or Flux Solana or Flux KDA or any of these other projects, you easily just go through fusion and you basically mint onto the new network. And you're able to participate in any of the DeFi degen stuff that you love, right?
Or so it's maybe, your own bridge.
Yeah, it's our own bridge. And it's built decentralized on top, inside of Zelcore, on top of Flux. So there's no mystery contracts out there. Everyone that's in those parallel assets can leave. Like hypothetically, say Solana just takes a crap, which wouldn't shock any of
wouldn't
us, right?
Surprise anybody.
So, no knock on Solana Maxis out there. Sorry, guys. You could easily come back to Flux. You can always come home again. So, you know, a lot of the exchange listings that we're doing now, you know, whether it's Binance or KuCoin or a lot of these other, they're the parallel assets because people like the ETH pairing. They like to be able to participate in DeFi. They like the Solana for the low transactions, Binance Smart Chain for low transactions, quick speed. So really, it's just allowing you to have the flavor du jour. We just announced our Flux Algorand, which is, Algo. So Algorand's doing some pretty amazing things, and we're going to have a AMA coming up at them as well. So we're really excited to see some of the pieces that they're doing. So good stuff.
Yeah. Super cool stuff. Now kind of going back to the tokenomics a little bit, I know you guys just had on February 8th, you're halving. So could you talk a little bit about what Flux's halving is? And, you know, if people don't even know what that is, maybe explain like Bitcoin's halving.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that as Satoshi Nakamoto was putting together the Bitcoin white paper, he understood that essentially, you know, fiat currencies are inflationary models, right? So it's, you know, you hear the Fed say it over and over again, you know, there's an unlimited amount of money, means they can just keep adding zeros to whatever it is that they'd like to. And, you know, that's infinite.
Money printer go brr.
Yeah, go brr, right? Well, Satoshi said every 4 years, we're going to basically cut that block reward in half. And then what that's going to do is that's going to drive adoption. It's going to drive demand. It's also going to drive the utility of the asset as well, which was a very wise thing to do. So as we were sitting down looking at Flux, we decided to do the exact same thing. However, we changed our halving to 2.5 years. The reason we did that is because we actually use our halving and our node scaling as a way for us to scale. So 2.5 years in crypto is like a gazillion years out in the real world, right? So we felt 2.5 years was right. We have a 2-minute block time on top of that. We have a maximum of 440 million Flux that'll ever be minted. So we are a finite resource. You know, people ask, you know, you can buy 0.00000001 Flux. So, you know, it's much like the Bitcoin model in that way. It also helps. Some would say it's not deflationary, but it is in reality is kind of like a deflationary based model that it, you know, as the demand of the asset continues to increase and it, you know, we've seen exponential growth, especially this past couple of years, with the halving coming into play that also drive, you know, the demand of it up. And of course, you know, a natural byproduct of that is would be at a price adjustment as well. Not an investment advisor, nor do I play one on TV.
Of course. Absolutely. No, I kind of like what you said about like how crypto moves so quickly. And I was thinking about it. I just kind of grabbed my calculator real quick because I was curious. But like, so if there's on average 252 trading days in the stock market, in about 8 hours a day. So that's about 2,000 hours. But if you actually have crypto, which is 365 days times 24, you know, hours, that's 8,760. So if you divide that by 2,000, you know, you realize crypto trades about 4.5 times faster or more,
yes,
more hours,
yes,
than the stock market. So yes, there's more cycles.
Yes.
What a trip.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the thing about it is we're used to that antiquated technology, right? Because banks are closed on weekends, banks are closed on holidays. Crypto is open 24/7, 365 and doesn't stop, right? And that's the future. Whether wherever you sit about, you know, crypto and blockchain technologies, you know, the future is exactly that. And that's why, you know, with Flux, we wanted to make sure that we had our you know, we didn't come out and trumpet Flux and say, look at all the things we're doing. We spent the past 5 years building. Because that's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted a fully
quiet building.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah. We wanted a fully functional. They call me Organic Dan because that's what I always tell the community. I'm like, nope, we're not going to do this. We're not going to, you know, hire massive market companies and, you know, run out and pay YouTube shillers and things like that. We're not going to do any of that. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to build a product that's we're going to be proud of and that when people use it, they'll understand immediately that this is the real deal.
Yeah. Now, in terms of adoption, could you tell us a little bit about any metrics that you guys are proud of, usage, numbers, whatever you got?
Dude, I am the metric man. I love metrics.
You're like,
right?
Dude, how much time do we have?
Yeah, I got enough to blow your mind.
Let's hear a couple.
So Flux, right now as it stands, we're the number two fork of Bitcoin. So we do about 135,000 to 145,000 transactions a day. Litecoin does somewhere around 120,000. So we're actually doing more transactions per day than Litecoin. Wow. To put that in perspective, Bitcoin does about 250,000. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive. That means our chain's being utilized and it's being, you know, it's really people are building and developing on it. We have, we recently with our halvening, we have went over almost 16,000 nodes. So we have 16,000 nodes that are global and 50 plus countries all around the world. If you look at the wheel, it's a wheel of color. I mean, they're everywhere. It'd be hard pressed to find somewhere that doesn't have Flux. We have about 45,000 instances running right now today on Flux, about 16,000 to 17,000 unique instances that have deployed. So that's everything from, you know, blockchain-based products to web servers. We have a lot of e-game folks that are running servers on there now as well. And now we're just ramping up our WordPress piece as well. So we have 65 people that work on the product on the project, Flux itself. And then on the Zelcore side, we have probably somewhere around the neighborhood of 12. Wow. Zelcore is one of the most popular multi-asset platforms out there. We have in excess of 700,000 plus users on that platform alone, 2.6 million unique addresses that go back to Zelcore. So we have a lot of metrics there. You know, Flux is really, from a statistical standpoint, we have just crushed everything in terms of our growth model. So if you look at our metrics model, everything goes like this because the adoption cycle is here. And even in a bear market, you know, bear markets are weird because they usually revolve around asset prices, but that doesn't stop the development of the project. And as a matter of fact, your adoption cycle should be in your bear markets, right? Because then your support cycle begins when your bull market runs out because people start to find out about it. And then you have to start supporting those pieces. This is why in the past in crypto, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, every time there's a big price surge, everything breaks, right?
Yes.
Coinbase is down, Kraken's down, these guys are down, this is broke, right? Because everybody's running in to test that infrastructure. So what Flux has done is we're building in that down cycle so that when that up cycle comes and we're getting stress tested, we'll be able to handle those infrastructure influxes, no pun intended.
Beautiful. I love it. Now, I'm also curious just on your hot take on any of the unfolding regulatory stuff. And, you know, I don't think you're a lawyer and, you know, full disclosure, I'm not a lawyer either, but maybe we could just have a quick conversation. What's your take about what's kind of unfolding on the regulatory front?
Well, I think we're seeing motion. So, I mean, the way that you fix a problem is to start having conversations, level-headed, conversations, and not, not Gary Gensler slapping everybody with Wells notices because, although they like to think the world revolves around the U.S., it doesn't necessarily revolve around the U.S. And as a matter of fact, the developer company, Influx, that's a UK-based company because we refuse to bring it to the States, mostly because of the lack of regulatory compliance. Now, that doesn't mean we wouldn't want to be in the United States. I want to be in the United States. That's a big piece of the puzzle for us. Mm-hmm. However, until they start getting some true regulatory guidance around it, we start getting, the Senate and Congress involved and start talking these things out, and we start to actually get some real planning in place, I think it's going to continue to be a challenge. And guess what? These are tough conversations that we're getting ready to go into. Whether you're talking about Web3 and decentralized compute, or if you're talking about, AI and some of the components that you're seeing coming out of that, this is the real deal, guys. And you're talking CBDCs now on top of this and stuff. So, I mean, we have to be very vocal advocates for whatever it is that, how we want to see this play out in the end, because if, they will easily take your technology that you've built and they'll roll it into the Borg that is, the government. If you're not willing to work with them and figure out exactly how this is going to play out. So, Flux is always taking a very stringent regulatory compliant piece. As a matter of fact, we've been Howey tested and failed multiple times in the States because, and by the way, you want to fail the Howey test. You don't want to pass it. So, because people hear that, they'll be like, oh, that's bad. No, that's good.
You don't get recognized as security.
That's right. So, the closest thing that I'd say you could put Flux next to would be Bitcoin. And we've done that by design. We've done that by keeping our decentralization, keeping our miners involved, not minting, 100% of our tokens day one, with proof of stake. Because we believe that that's where it's going to be at the end. We believe that regulatory compliance and guidance, factually, people are saying, 97% of the tokens that are on CoinMarketCap right now today are securities, and they're not wrong. We happen to be one of the 2%. So, that's just how it is. Should they report to the SEC? I believe they should. If they're trying to be in the United States, they need to handle that. You can't mint 100% of your token and promise to provide, crazy APYs and everything else and not be called a security. Just doesn't make sense. Now, the U.S. could definitely get their act together. There was a lot of, put my tinfoil hat on. There was a lot of conversation between Sam and, Gary and a lot of those other pieces. So, I'm a little concerned that they're going to do something stupid. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah, I know there's a whole host of things that are going to be kind of getting tied up this year. I know the Ripple case is getting tied up this year. I think the Grayscale lawsuit against the SEC is starting this month. So there's some things that are definitely changing in the waters.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see how it plays out. And before I let you go, I want to ask you about the upcoming hackathon that you guys have. I think I saw it was called the Cypherpunk 2023.
Yeah. So we have some pretty large events coming up for the project. We do have in Fort Lauderdale this year. We will have our first Flux. we call it a FluxCon, but now it's called Cypherpunk 2023. I call it the unconsensus consensus, right? So instead of paying $20 million to go to hear people bloviate about themselves for 2 days, you get to go to Fort Lauderdale, you get to hang out with cypherpunks, get back down to brass tacks about why are we here in this space and why it's important. So we're not going to listen to people's shoulder projects or their S coin of the day. This is going to be about how we can continue to keep it advancing, everything moving forward. So we will have a hackathon there as well. We have a couple events scheduled. We have a really great team that's putting that together. So we're excited for it. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Man, well, I'm excited about everything you guys are building at Flux. It just seems like the total addressable market for this stuff is huge. It's just tremendous. And it's not just, another cryptocurrency. It's a whole broad network of compute. And I think that's something that a lot of people need to understand, is that there's a lot of cryptocurrencies that are just transactional mediums of exchange. That's all they're meant to do. But there's not much of a, robust network under it of, all these, miners and validators passing back data and, layer two solutions. So what you guys are building is huge. And I'm excited to see how you guys continue.
I appreciate that. And I would say this in closing to anyone listening, I would say this, a lot of folks talk about, in a bear market, they're really evaluating where their bags were held, what they're doing. It's all about use case. And, you have to sit down and look at these projects, face value, do your due diligence, dig deep, actually look at what the product is being used for and what problem does it solve and what does it change. Disruptive.
Yeah, be honest with yourself.
Yeah. Disruptive technology is fantastic. But if you're buying a dog coin, you're not here for it's disruptive technology. So, now's the perfect time to do some self-evaluation, do some due diligence and research on projects that you believe in. And I think once you fall down the Flux rabbit hole, as we refer to it, that I think you'll be impressed. And then you can use that as a litmus test to other projects as well and say, what are they doing that's different from, say, Cosmos or Polkadot or, Solana or these other products? And why are they so mature?
Yeah. Man, I'm excited. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for coming on the Crypto 101 podcast. Where's the best place that we could direct our listeners to do a little follow-up? Is that Twitter, Discord, email? What do you guys like?
So you can go to runonflux.io, which runs on Flux. So that is nice. Our website. You can follow us on Twitter at runonflux. If you want to hear the rantings of a crazy old man from time to time, it's at @DAK_Flux. That's me. And we also have a wonderful Discord community, 20,000 plus people that love to help out and are very vibrant and engaged. So yeah, come check us out and ask questions, and we're always there. And who knows, maybe if you ask a question, you'll get an answer from me, because I like to get in there and talk to people and answer questions too.
Beautiful. Well, runonflux.io, or you can follow him on Twitter. Daniel, thank you so much for coming on the Crypto 101 podcast. I hope we have you back on again soon when you guys got some more big updates.
Awesome. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Take care. Everybody who's at home listening, stay tuned. Come on back next week. We'll have some more guests.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.